Welcome to another episode of the Money and Business Hero podcast, where we talk about the three pillars of financial success: money mindset, money management, and money making. My name is Lauren Fritz, and my guest today, Tracy Pleshcourt. She's the founder and CEO of Self Made You, and she's also a podcast host. She has mastered and is now teaching an operating system necessary to manage your mind and eliminate any obstacle in life, including overeating, overdrinking, time management, career and relationship changes, and professional development, and much, much more. So welcome to the show, Tracy. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's start with your story, right? How did you get to that operating system? How did you find it? How did it find you? What happened?
Yeah, that is such a good question. I would say it found me, thankfully, because I did a lot of unnecessary suffering in my day. I am a certified life coach, but my career path was kind of an unusual one, I think, for a life coach. I started out in the world of advertising. And that is hands down one of the best industries to really kind of cut your teeth on as a young adult. It's super creative. You get to be among all of the kind of sexy brands. But it also comes with long hours, a lot of stress, some overwhelm that I didn't know how to handle, especially at that age. And so, for over 20 years, I really dealt with stress and frustration and overwhelm in all the wrong ways. It led to overeating, overdrinking, overspending, and I didn't know how to help myself. And so I was always looking outside of me for the solution, always looking for the next fad diet, the next guru who could tell me, you know, how to earn more money. I would turn to wine to take the edge off at night. And, you know, it didn't end well. And I wanted to figure out once and for all, because I did the perpetual yo-yo dieting, the trying to drink in moderation only to overdrink once again. Those things never worked for me. And so I hired a life coach to really take kind of a unconventional approach to solving these problems, to really looking at my mind instead of looking at all my actions. And lo and behold, that started to make sense to me. And I, at the time, at 20 years into my career, I was also feeling a little unsettled. I was feeling called for something more and knew that really where my strong suit was in mentoring people. And so at the same time that my kids were just getting into high school and I knew I only had about 3 to 4 years left with them before they were gonna, you know, leave the nest, I made the big decision to resign from my position. It was, you know, it was a high salary, high level position, to come home, figure out what I could do from home so that I could spend those last 3 to 4 years with them and not have them leave for college with a whole lot of regret that I never spent time with them. So I now, looking back, it's been 6 or 7 years now. Looking back, I think, wow, I was so courageous. And I'm not sure it was courage. I'm sure it was kind of a lot of blind faith that led me to resign, to really put a strong focus on myself and solving my own problems, understanding myself better, and really committing to spending those last few years, like with, you know, solid time with my kids where I could really be present and not only see them, you know, in the evening, right before they go to bed, and, you know, not at all in the mornings. And so I, you know, had this life coach that was helping me understand myself better. And I really recognized that I was called to do that same thing. And so I started kind of advertising, I guess. I went and got certified to become a life coach. And I started telling people, you know, I actually do think I have the solution to a lot of different problems out there. I'm just like you, you know? And so I talked very vulnerably, very openly about the things that I was struggling with. and showed them how I was actually using my mind to solve these problems instead of the next fad diet or instead of willpower. I took a totally different approach. And so Self-Made You, my company, was birthed from this need to teach people how to think. I think we spend so much time in our formal education system being taught how, like, what to think, not how to think. We're taught what to think, and then we're tested on our ability to memorize those things. And we're not taught how to think in order to solve our own problems. We're not taught how to think in order to achieve our goals. And so Self-Made You was birthed to really kind of fill that gap in a lot of our educational experiences.
That's a great gap to a big gap to fill.
It is. Yes. But we are successfully doing it. And our mission is to become a household name. So that's how much I believe in this process. It's so efficient. It's so effective, and it requires nothing outside of yourself. You know, you just have to understand to turn to yourself as the solution. Think of yourself as the solution instead of thinking of yourself as the common denominator to all of your problems. So we created a four-step system that creates self-control, that creates self-reliance, that creates a better understanding in yourself, so that you too can kind of take this unconventional approach, this counterintuitive approach to solving your problems, or even, you know, creating the most impossible goals.
Great. Now, isn't it already a pretty big step for many people to see themselves as the common denominator of most of their problems? Most people are seeing the problem being from, or everything actually being from outside, coming from outside, right?
You know, I would say, I think subconsciously, I think they take what they are seeing on the outside and they always make it mean something about themselves. So I think on the surface level, the reactive nature of human beings is to blame something outside of them. But ultimately, they are almost always, you know, in more of a fight or flight, or it's coming from fear. And that fear, that narrative that they're hearing sounds like, you know, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. So it really does, the root cause is, you know, people understanding that this self-sabotage narrative is happening 24/7. And so we have to really be like conscious of it. We have to really heighten our awareness of it to be able to fight it. Like, you can't fight the enemy you can't see. And that truly is the enemy, is this primitive brain self-sabotaging narrative that's very dramatic. It's has you reacting without, you know, you're not thinking, it's just knee-jerk reactions to those narratives. But I would say, yeah, on the surface, the reaction is to lash out or to point the finger or blame. But ultimately, subconsciously, you're always making it mean something about yourself and your worthiness.
Great, thank you. Now, how does your process work? How do I switch from blaming myself, seeing myself as a problem, into turning myself into the solution?
Yeah, well, so should we take an example, like something that you've been dealing with, something that you're maybe feeling unsettled with, and we can actually walk through it?
One of my problems.
Yeah.
good, so we can do that.
So tell me about it. What is the emotion that you're struggling with, or is there a behavior that you're struggling with, or is there a result that you're struggling with?
What can we take as an example here?
And it doesn't have to be anything, you know, monumental. It can be something as small as, for example, yesterday my dogs kept barking. Like, I was trying to record podcasts and I was trying to, you know, do some heads down work. And all I could hear was them barking in the other room. And I was getting so frustrated. And I had to like really slow down, recognize that I was frustrated, really see how that frustration was unfolding. It was keeping me in kind of this spin cycle where I felt very stuck. I was, you know, all of the creativity had been lost. I started like having thoughts about, why do I even have these dogs? They are so annoying. All I wanted to do was get up out of my chair and go kick a dog, you know, something very reactive like that. And so I had to slow down and really decide, like, what is it that I ultimately want? Is it really that I, you know, don't want to have dogs anymore? Is it just that I'm looking for a little peace and quiet? What is it that I want? And like, how am I feeling about what it is that I want or about what it is that I don't have right now? And so really just naming that feeling. Now, today, I can quite quickly decide I'm feeling frustrated. But when you're in the heat of the moment, you're not sitting there thinking, oh, I'm frustrated. You're thinking, let me get my hands on that dog's neck. And right, you have this very reactive, kind of knee-jerk, impulsive thoughts, feelings, and sometimes behaviors. The behaviors can be in actions as well. But so starting with a decision, the S, so the acronym that we use is SELF. Okay. All you need is to understand yourself. You need to ask yourself four questions in order to get from where you're currently at to where it is that you want to be. And this might be, you know, a series of these four questions, because I look at this as kind of a cyclical process. Literally every step you take should encapsulate these four questions. So do you want me to keep going with that example, or do you have one?
Well, we could work on my trading mindset if you think that works, because I've been starting to, from just investing and short-term trades to day trading, testing my abilities, because some people would like to get faster results than from investing. So I thought,
right,
before I can help people with it, I gotta master it myself.
Okay.
And I'm not very happy with my and the only problem I have is the technical stuff is relatively easy, is the discipline to actually stop when I have my daily results.
Okay. So you're noticing that you are not disciplined to actually take certain actions. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. I'm not disciplined to take certain, to stick to the rules to that,
okay,
for myself. Let's put it like that.
Okay. So when was the last time this happened or you noticed this?
Well, I've been pretty good this week, but let's say last week.
Okay. So kind of take me back to that point in time last week where you weren't like taking those actions, and you may not have noticed it in the moment, right? But in retrospect, you're now noticing it and you're kind of beating yourself up over it. And I want you to kind of talk about what were you feeling in that moment when you actually were really resisting taking that action, or you maybe it wasn't even on your mind, you were doing something else.
Well, it's actually, you get caught up. I had my good run and I've got the result that I want for the day. But then I think, why not? And I should stop. I know I should stop. And then I said, hey, I see another opportunity. Let's take that one as well. And let's take that one as well. And then, of course, they don't work as well. And I lose some of the profits that I had.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've got a
caught in the loop. I need to look for another opportunity. And I look for another. And you go on. And the end result doesn't really matter in that case if it turns out well or not. It's just a, why didn't I just stop when I should have and did something completely different and instead of wasting time there in front of the computer?
Okay, so answer that question. Why didn't you stop when you should have? If you have to kind of really be honest with yourself, why didn't you stop when you quote unquote shouldn't have? Should have.
Well, I guess that's, to make it simple, that's greed.
Okay.
To get to my end goal faster or to more or whatever that. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a thought that sounds like maybe if I don't do this now, I might be missing out?
Yeah.
Or kind of the what if?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have narratives that our primitive brain is offering us. And there's very universal narratives. One of them is called the judge, where we're judging ourselves, we're judging circumstances, or we're judging other people. So the judging of ourself is really what you're doing right now. It's all of the, I should have, I shouldn't have, you know, you're kind of beating yourself up for just, you know, being human, making quote unquote mistakes. Judging a circumstance looks like, I'll be happy when, or I'll feel successful when, right? So when I hit this certain number in the trade, or I have this certain dollar amount in my bank account, then I'll be happy, or then I'll be successful, or then my clients will respect me. So that's a narrative that is very sabotaging, because it has you reacting. You hear it, but it's very much in the background. You don't even recognize it. And it has you reacting in almost like an autopilot way. You almost don't even notice it until it's retrospectively. So this happened last week and we're talking about it today. You're now starting to see, oh, I was listening unintentionally. I was listening to this narrative that sounds like, if you don't keep trading, you might miss out on the big one, right? And it's kind of like this hypervigilance, you know, fear-based narrative, the all of the what ifs. And so the hypervigilant narrative is also very universal. It can create anxiety about all of the dangers that could go wrong. So you have a lot of what ifs. And you also think that if I make one mistake, it'll lead to a chain of disastrous events. That's what the hypervigilant narrative has you believing. But here's what I really want you to know. These saboteur narratives that we are often listening to, they're birthed from our inherent strengths. So the people who hear that hypervigilant narrative, or almost live their life from that hypervigilant narrative, or run their life through the filter of a hypervigilant narrative, they are the people that are very sensitive. They're actually aware of true risks to themselves, to others. They're kind of the guardian of their community, for sure, of their family, of their clients. They're very, very reliable. They're loyal. They're dependable. They're hardworking. So it makes sense that that's kind of the narrative that you were unknowingly listening to. And so when you hear that narrative, like I said, you just have this reaction that almost feels like you're going against your will. It almost feels like you're on autopilot and you're like, what the heck just happened? It's because that narrative is running in the background. And so it's very helpful to become aware of which narratives you most often operate from. So we offer an assessment, it's totally free, that just shines a light on kind of your top three narratives. And there's 10. And like I said, the judge is very universal, the hypervigilant narrative, the people pleaser, the avoider, the hyperachiever. You know, we all can see a little bit of each of those in ourselves, but there's always, you know, two or three that we relate most to, that we hear mostly. And so, like I said, you can fight the enemy that you can see. You can't fight him if you can't see him. So being on the lookout for that narrative to show up can be really helpful, because instead of reacting from your primitive brain, you actually can respond from what I like to call your prodigy brain. So here's just a little bit of neuroscience for you. We have this 3-pound organ that sits between our ears. And if you were to cut it straight in half, the left side is called your primitive brain. And its sole purpose is to keep you alive. And so it seems like it's almost always in this survival phase. It's always giving you dramatic thoughts, very fear-based thoughts, in order to keep you alive. And we don't see them as dramatic. We see them as the truth. And that part of our brain is the strongest part of our brain. It's the part of our brain that we operate by default from, because it's been used the most often. So just like if you were in a gym and you were lifting weights, the muscle that you're using the most is going to be the strongest, right? So that part of your brain is the strongest part of your brain. But you also have that other part of your brain, the right part of your brain, which is called your prefrontal cortex. I call it your prodigy brain because it's the more extraordinary part of your brain. And instead of letting these patterns continually to unfold from your primitive brain, your prodigy brain can actually witness what's going on. It can actually watch for those kind of narratives, and it can intercept before that pattern unfolds yet again. And so we work on the mental fitness of strengthening your prodigy brain so you actually start operating and kind of defaulting or downregulating to your prodigy brain from an operational standpoint. So when you're sitting there last week thinking unintentionally, you know, what if I miss out on this last trade? You are listening to your primitive brain, very fear-based, very dramatic, and it has you in a reactive mode of just continuing on, you know, going after the next one and the next one and then the next one because of this fear of missing out, right? And so now that you see it, you can eliminate that self-sabotaging. And even though the sabotage isn't anything, you know, monumental, it still would have a compounded effect. If you did this every single day, day in and day out, you probably wouldn't like the compounded results. So you want to intercept it even in the small moments, even when it's just dogs barking. You still want to catch it so that you don't react, so that instead you respond. So the four steps that we use the acronym or the framework SELF, S-E-L-F. So you're only and always relying on yourself. It's a sequence of events or questions that help you better understand yourself. So the first step is to decide. You start with a decision. The S is start with a decision. So go back to last week or even stay in the present and tell me now, how do you want to think about your experience last week? Ideally, how do you want to feel about your experience of over trading, going over your time limit last week? Today, how do you want to feel about that?
I would just like to see it as a learning and be better next tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So tell me what that thought creates. What kind of feeling does that create for you?
General good. So more in power.
Yeah. More accepting of yourself. Like you have the one part of your brain that says you shouldn't have done it. It's very judgmental, which, you know, makes you feel a little inadequate, makes you kind of be on the defense. But then you have the prodigy brain that's like, actually, this could be a learning opportunity, right? It's very same. These thoughts are coming from your brain, but they offer very different feelings, correct?
True.
Yes. Okay. So one is coming from your primitive brain. One is coming from your prodigy brain. So you've made the decision. Here's how I want to think about that experience last week, so that you're feeling more accepting of yourself. When you feel accepting of yourself, how do you show up?
More positive, more motivated to.
Yeah. Versus when you're kind of in that beat down phase, when you're in that judgmental phase, how do you notice you show up?
More nervous.
Mm-hmm. How do you interact with your clients?
Well, same.
Yeah. I know a lot of people when... Go ahead.
Not lifting them up as much as I could or want to.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So when we're beating ourselves up, we tend to hide, right? We tend to pull back. We don't lean in when we're beating ourselves up. We tend to be, you know, more sensitive, right? And so typically you're like fueling that feeling of I'm not worthy, or I shouldn't have done that, or that was really dumb of me, or I could have done better. Like that, there's that thought like fuels more thoughts of negative self-talk. So it's so important to catch it and to decide, actually, how do I want to think about that? I can't change the circumstance. It's already happened. But how do I want to think about that so that I create an emotion within me that actually perpetuates behavior that I want to be having or doing? So you can see the difference of when you're operating from your primitive brain, when you're very unintentional, you can see those thoughts that have you feeling, defeated, having you feel unworthy, having you feel judgmental, that has you maybe hiding, not being your best self, versus when you're having the thought that you've decided or the feeling that you've decided on, actually, I can look at that as a learning opportunity. That actually may have been a gift because I actually learned something about myself, which makes you feel more accepting, which then has you leaning in and probably figuring out what else is there for me to learn. And so the paths unfold very differently. So you start with the decision. How do I want to feel about this? Barring the fact I can't change the circumstance, there's no going back. I can't change the circumstance of the barking dogs. You can't change the circumstance of overtrading. The circumstance is there, but we can, the self-control comes into play because you can choose how you want to think about it. And when you're operating from your prodigy brain, you can respond in a way that you want to respond. You're not relying on your primitive brain. You're not being in a reactive mode. You're actually being in an intentional mode. So the S is start with a decision. The E is eliminate the self-sabotage. So we identified which narratives you were listening to. You were listening to the judge and you were listening to the hypervigilant narrative. When you notice that, you don't have to know the names of them for this to be able to work. You can just recognize, how am I feeling? If you're feeling anything negative or unwanted, you know that thought's coming from your primitive brain. You know that's going to end in self-sabotage. But pausing for a minute and shining a light on it, knowing that you're listening to self-sabotaging narratives, is how you're going to eliminate being sabotaged. Because instead of reacting, you're going to instead respond. Okay, so that's how you eliminate the self-sabotage. Leveraging your prodigy brain strength. So when you're operating from the other part of your brain, the right side of your brain, the more extraordinary part of your brain, you can tap into strengths like empathy, discovery, innovation. And those are the strengths that are inherent within you that are actually going to progress you towards where you ultimately want to be. But those strengths are not accessible to you when you're over operating from your primitive brain. So just as I was prompting you, I was asking you questions that you were discovering, the facts of the situation. You were discovering kind of the truth from the story. You were actually empathizing with yourself. You were probably empathizing with the situation. You were able to see this as a gift or as a learning opportunity versus beating yourself up. But that's the difference between operating from your primitive brain and operating from your prodigy brain. So again, when you have the mental fitness to operate from this stronger part of your brain, or you can coach yourself into operating from that part of your brain, you're going to be able to 10x wherever it is that you want to be, because the momentum is going to be started and it's going to be fueled by empathy, discovery, innovation, strengths that are inherent within you. So we start with a decision, we eliminate the self-sabotage, we leverage our strengths, and then we finish with the decision. So I want to just go back to leveraging your strengths, and I want to ask you, so what is the most compassionate, loving thing you can say to yourself about that experience last week?
most compassionate, loving thing about this thing? I don't know.
You told me you learned something.
You've done a great job learning and growing.
There you go. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Okay. So now we know that you're feeling a sense of empathy for yourself. You're feeling unconditional love for yourself. Now from here, I want you to make a decision about what's the next step, not the roadmap, but what's the next step that you can take that gets you closer to where it is that you want to be. So I'm guessing where you want to be is having more kind of rigid or constrained time frames on your trading. Like you have a hard start, you have a hard stop. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. So what's the next step? Just one step that you can take that's you can be very laser focused on, you can take with confidence, that's going to get you closer to where you want to be.
The next step is just shut down, get up and leave once I have the desired or the planned result for the day.
Okay. So you would have to know what the planned result is, right? So you'd probably have to make that decision.
X number of good trades.
There you go. Okay. So you start with, or you finish with the decision that when I hit this number of trades, what happens?
I shut down the program, or even better, the whole computer, and do something else.
Okay. And just to take it one step further. So those are the four steps. You start with a decision, eliminate self-sabotage, leverage your strengths, finish with a decision. And now you can see how cyclical this is, because now you've made that decision, right? You're kind of essentially starting with a new decision, but what kind of saboteur narratives are going to show up? So yeah. You get to
how
the end of that day.
That? Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think you're going to be hearing?
What I'll be hearing is, well, let's see if you can do that.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's like, sometimes that can perpetuate people to do it, but it almost feels like it's willpower. You want to be believing something that actually has some momentum. So what is something that you can believe about yourself that's going to create, without a doubt, the step that you want to be taking?
That I can have amazing results if I just follow that plan.
Yeah. And it sounds pretty easy to do, right? Like you hit a certain number and that's when you shut down the computer. So you might want to go after that belief that it's actually pretty easy. This is not hard.
No, it's not.
There you go. But you can recognize that those saboteur narratives are going to be there, right? Nobody's ever going to take the primitive part of our brain out of our head. It's always there. So we have to be aware of them, not judge ourselves for having them, but just be aware of them. Because when we're aware of them, we can respond instead of reacting. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah. So the next time today, every single step you take, all you have to do is rely on yourself. Start with a decision, eliminate the self-sabotage, leverage your inherent strengths, and finish with a decision. And you just keep one step after the next. That's what perpetuates growth towards where it is you ultimately want to be. So we teach this big picture. We have people coming to us that say, I want to lose 100 pounds, or I want to make $100,000 in my new business, or I want to heal a relationship. They have really big goals, and we can apply this system to those goals. We also have people that say, actually, I just want to get through this next meeting feeling confident, and we can apply this system to that. So we teach people from basically kind of this fundamental place of planning their day. We all have a day ahead of us. And so I use that as the application for teaching the self-control operating system. So we offer masterclasses, we offer free coaching Friday, but our upcoming masterclass is on October 27th. It's 9 a.m. Central Standard Time and it's totally free. And what we're gonna do is teach you how to plan the perfect day utilizing yourself. Not looking outside of yourself, really going inward and deciding, what is it that I want? Hour by hour, what is it that I want from the day? What is it that I want from the year? What is it that I want from my life? When you stop dreading your days, you start loving your life. And we show you how to do that. And so I invite all of your listeners to take advantage of that. We have all sorts of free resources, but because we're talking very specifically about how to apply this system, big and small, it seems appropriate to invite them to this upcoming class.
Awesome. Thank you. I recommend if you want to have more productive, perfect days and love your life that you join this this workshop on the 27th, right?
Yes. Yes.
We'll post a link with the episode if you send me a link, Tracy.
I will definitely do that.
Great. Awesome. Well, then you're making money with this as well, right? How important is money for you, Tracy?
Yes. Well, it's important, especially since I left a multi-six-figure salary. And, you know, at the height of my career, I really did need to come home and figure out, okay, how am I going to supplement that income? So this has been lucrative, but it's not about the money. It absolutely is about helping people relieve that unnecessary suffering. But here's the truth of the matter. We all suffer. We are all actively sabotaging ourselves every minute of every day. So I know for sure how to teach people this system and how effective it's going to be in their life. And I get to do what I love. I get to mentor, come alongside of people, really be kind of their soft place to land. So yeah, it's been, 5 years since I've started the business. So it certainly wasn't easy. I don't think any entrepreneur will claim that it was an easy ride. It's not for the faint of heart. But we're growing. I have more coaches coming on board in December. So we not only offer a membership program, we also offer a career path for people who have had great experiences and really feel called to teach and coach other people. We have a student teacher program and we have a self-made you coach program as well, which has really just expanded all of our offers and made our, curriculum more robust. So it's been a wonderful year in regards to growth.
Awesome. Sounds great. You just reminded me because you said we all suffer. One of my mentors says pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Absolutely.
Really great that you help people to get rid of the suffering, right?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
Now my, favorite question. What is your best wealth building tip for our audience?
Ooh, I would say, thinking about money as energy has really helped me build wealth. So I don't think of money as, any sort of, it's not as transactional as it used to be for me. It is a lot more relationship. It really looks like transformation to me. So when I think about the exchange of value, when I think about this exchange of money really being an exchange of energy, it helps me grow my wealth. It helps me attract more people to self-made you, and it perpetuates or gives me more motivation to help them. So my best wealth creating tip is to think of money as energy. And really, instead of being transactional, think of your exchange as more transformational.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming. Tracy, if anybody would like to reach out to you, get help or ask questions, where can they find you?
Yeah. So our website is full of free resources, including a calendar for our upcoming masterclass and our upcoming free coaching Fridays. And you can find that at www.self-made.com.
Awesome. Great. Well, of course, I'll share the link as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Episode.
Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please don't forget to like this episode, subscribe to the channel, and leave a review so that other people can find it too, and you don't miss any of the next episodes. Thanks, and see you at our next show. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Money and Business Hero podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you got some value from it. Please take a moment to leave a rating, or even better, a review. That helps awesome people like you to find the show and me to produce more and even better episodes. And don't forget to subscribe. If you want to get regular free tips, tools, techniques on how to build wealth and financial freedom, or simply how to improve your financial life in all three pillars of financial success, join my free Money Hero Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/moneyhero. Find the link in the description, or find out more on the website moneyheroacademy.com. See you there.